And I thought to myself, and I went, okay, how often do we have to put on soft gloves and deal with people like that who will throw their weight around, who will throw temper tantrums, and who will make your life miserable until and unless you give them what they want?
Hi, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast, where we interview cutting-edge creative artists, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are changing the world. We also bring you tips and techniques that you can implement. This episode is brought to you by my favorite productivity hack, the Brain FM app, this podcast's hosts, Podbean, as well as my book, Speak From Within.
Hello, and welcome to the Creative Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you for being here. This is another bonus episode. And these bonus episodes are here because I am trying as much as possible to explore how creativity informs success, how it informs and is vital to pretty much everything we do. And right now, I'm working through theater. I'm thinking and acting and exploring through the lens of plays and musicals. In addition to my every Monday work that I'm doing with guests, and the work that I'm doing talking about creativity and collaboration in the solo episodes, every time I see a production, I'm going to be talking about a facet of creativity and collaboration and also life and work in general through the lens of theater. And today's episode is all about the play Patriots. Patriots stars Michael Stuhlbarg and Will Keane and was written by Peter Morgan, who is the guy who wrote The Crown, the TV. I can't call it a miniseries. I guess it's a series that basically chronicles Queen Elizabeth II's life from before she was queen all the way through to Prince Charles, Princess Diana, the birth of William and Harry. Prince William, Prince Harry. Although Prince Harry is not Prince Harry anymore. It's very confusing to me. Regardless, why I want to talk about this is because Patriots tells the story of Boris Berezovsky, who was a businessman, as they call themselves, during Perestroika and sort of the crumbling apart of the Soviet Union, and Vladimir Putin, who is still in power. And it's about what happened with them and around them and to them during that very tumultuous time. And its aftermath. And here's the thing about this. One of the things that I was struck by in seeing the show, first of all, if you can see it, if you're going to be in New York City, go. Go before it closes. It's a limited run. And they had it in London's West End, and they brought the entire production over. And on the West End, it won a ton of Olivier Awards, which is sort of like the Tony here in the USA. And they brought it here, and it's running at the Barrymore Theater in Manhattan, and it is outstanding. The set is relatively sparse, and before the show goes up, before the curtain goes up, if you will, they show you the set, and there's this huge, I would say 10 feet across, neon-lit red star sitting sort of suspended from the ceiling. And there's kind of a bar. It feels like a bar anyway, that is the main stage where there are chairs around it, et cetera, et cetera. And we get treated to Berezovsky as a young child, and his genius for mathematics is retold. And then it goes forward and jumps back and forth in time a little bit. But the thing that struck me about the show, the acting is brilliant. They bring these characters to life in a way that is actually quite terrifying. And you see the megalomania that's in full display. And when people, and in this case men, because it's mostly about the men, feel like they are born into the power, or that they feel like they have to take the power And it's megalomaniacal and incredibly narcissistic. And you watch it happen and you're going, I'm watching a play. But then you look at the reality of the situation and what's happened with Russia and Ukraine and so many other things. And it's terrifying. I have to admit, it is terrifying. And so as I'm thinking about it, as I'm watching this, there's a point at which this happened sort of historically in that Putin asked to join NATO and NATO said no. And when Berezovsky and another one of their cohorts are talking about it afterwards, and he's going, you know, you don't say wait your turn to a man like Putin. You, when he comes to you and he wants something, you give it to him. You don't go wait your turn. And I thought to myself, and I went, okay, how often do we have to put on soft gloves and deal with people like that who will throw their weight around, who will throw temper tantrums, and who will make your life miserable until and unless you give them what they want? And now this happened on a bigger scale in the life of the play and also in reality. That this is a man who is both prime minister and the president of this country, and has incredible amounts of power to throw his weight around. And dramatically, as I'm watching this unfold on the stage, I'm going, oh, how often do we do this in real life? That we don't make room for someone like that, because it's the right thing not to make room for them. They haven't deserved the attention that they are demanding. And the fair thing to do is to say, hey, wait your turn. That's how things work. But if you're doing it to someone who is in a position of power and they can make your life miserable, then you end up in situations that can be quite harrowing. And we're certainly seeing this. You know, you can talk about Castro and baseball. You can talk about Hitler and painting, I guess. You can talk about, in The X-Files, Cancer Man, or the cigarette-smoking man, and he wanted to be an author of writing Pulp Fiction, essentially. And I think The X-Files did a tip of the hat to that because of these horrifying, terrifying leaders who didn't get what they, quote-unquote, really dreamed of, and so therefore they're like, I'm going to kill everybody. Eddie Izzard, she did a thing in one of her shows about that I didn't get what I want, so I'm going to destroy everything. And we see that happen in real life. They showed it happening on The X-Files. They showed it here in the case of, you didn't get what you wanted, and so therefore you're going to just destroy everything. And so theater shines a light on that. It goes, okay, these are the possibilities. The psychology of this is, we get scared into either doing what we don't want to do because someone else has power, or we say no and then take a chance that later on they will do far worse. And it would be nice if they had, you know, a more psychologically healthy outlook on things and say, okay, let's be fair. They want to be fair. I will wait my turn. But that's not what the show depicted. And really, it's not what reality seems to be bearing out. And this whole notion, and I, to get political for a second, I fear that he will not be satisfied until he has absorbed all of the former Soviet republics. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it is something that I think about. And this play definitely made me think of it too. But regardless of all of that, the thing that I'm really thinking about with respect to creativity, because I could talk politics all day, but I'd prefer not to. But I want to say that when you see a play that makes you think, like this play made me think, and some of it is, of course, closer to my heart because of where I'm from, but when you see a play that you can't stop thinking about, that you can't stop talking about, there's something powerful in that, that you end up with the possibility of being affected by this literary thing or dramatic thing that you've witnessed for far longer than you might have thought. Certainly for me, certain musicals, Wicked, and I've seen Wicked more than I've seen any other show. I think I stopped at 12 and haven't seen it. I think I've seen it 12 times. And for a while I was going once a year. I was saving my pennies and going once a year, whether I needed to or not. And the notion of being different, and that plugs us in, right? That plugs us in, that whole Elphaba is an outcast and is different and has to make her way in the world by herself and also still tries to care for her sister, is not, it's universal. It's not something we don't relate to. People relate to her. And then on top of that, she wants to care for the animals, like the lion. And she wants to do the right thing. And she talks Fiero into doing the right thing. And if you haven't seen Wicked, sorry, they just celebrated 20 years on Broadway, so I feel like I can be doling out a few spoilers here and there. But the point is that when you're seeing a show like that, you get to see something that you can absolutely relate to. And as often as possible, I think a good playwright, a good dramatist, is going to give you something either incredibly entertaining or something you can really relate to, and ideally, both. It will give you that kind of reaction that you can really relate to this, that you can really feel yourself in it or feel it as parts of you, but also hopefully is incredibly entertaining. I kind of felt that way about Heart of Rock and Roll because the music was so much a part of my youth, and it's fun and vivacious and left me just feeling better than I'd felt in a while because it was that much fun and that much enjoyment and that much delicious music and dance and all of that. So ideally to me, any kind of creative endeavor is going to have both of those things. It will be something you can really relate to, you can really see yourself in, or it'll entertain you in one way or another. The things that I personally am not interested in watching are things that are going to be, that are going to leave me full of pain. I'm not interested in seeing things that are going to leave me full of pain. I particularly, like I saw Bambi once, I saw Dumbo once. I never, ever, ever, ever need to see them again. I never, ever, ever, ever need to see the end of Brokeback Mountain again. Same thing with Rocky Horror Picture Show. I've seen that movie somewhere like 70 times because I had a friend whose father owned the theater that showed Rocky Horror at midnight, and we used to go pretty much every Saturday night for the longest time. But I've only actually seen the ending once. After that, at a certain point, I just walked out because I can't help thinking that taking in that kind of trauma every time is more than my psyche needs to bear. My psyche does not need to bear that kind of pain because when I see it in drama, when I read it in books, in movies, TV, whatever, I can't handle it. I'm like, this is not good for me. And I realized that over the last few years, and I don't put myself through it. And I know that it's part of the human condition, and I know that it's part of the human experience, but I choose not to put myself through it. And here's the thing. This play last night that I saw, Patriots, was so singular that even though I knew how it ended, because it ends how you know the history ended for the most part, I stayed to the end because it grabbed me. It was that interesting. So I think that for me, if you can create a compelling work, something that inspires, something that leaves me enjoying it, or something that is so relatable that I can't help but stick around to the end, then I think you've done your job. So I send this out to playwrights, to musicians, to authors. If you're, to anybody who's doing something creative, if you're doing it for work, if you're doing it for play, create things that are compelling. Create things that your audience will be able to relate to, that they will see themselves in. And if possible, make it entertaining as all get out. That's what I felt like with Patriots and any show that I truly enjoy. Those are the ingredients that I enjoy. And yeah, and I think that's it. I think that's it. I wanted to get this out there. I'm fascinated by these moments of thinking about shows, and hopefully you're enjoying these episodes too, because there's something powerful to me about looking at all of this through the lens of theater. I personally love, love, love it, and I'm excited about where this could go. So I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I think the next is An Enemy of the People, which is an Ibsen play. I think that's what I'm seeing next. And I'm going to be very interested in, that's Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli. And that the thoughts that I get from seeing that show will come up next. I think that's the next thing I'm seeing. I'm seeing a bunch of shows. I'm just show crazy right now, saving all my pennies. I'm not going out to eat. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I am every penny that I have that isn't going to cat care right now is going to see theater as much as possible. And part of that is because I'm writing my own shows, right? I've got two musicals I've written, listen, and that is something that I want to pursue, getting staged. And then I've got two musicals that I'm working on right now, and I'm trying to figure out that exact thing. How do you make this stuff compelling and relatable and entertaining for an audience? And the best I can do is to see if I can put myself in the shoes, in the souls and hearts and minds of the people who put their butts in seats to come see anything I've written or created, and give them what would satisfy the relatability craving in their own souls, is the best way I can say it. All right, this is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Creative Solutions Podcast, reminding you, as always, to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the show if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2024. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope.